tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
You keep telling me that. Who is she?
Well, don't touch that dial, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Swat!
The King of Crack!
The Colossus of Clout!
The Colossus of Clout!
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Here's Tom Morgan.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERCDelivery.com and Bill Huggins from Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, and we're here to take your comments or questions about sports collecting, any collectible you think you have that might be valuable. We give away a prize each week to one caller, emailer, or tweeter who tweets to the show, emails the show, or calls during the show. The number is 312-332-3776 to give a call. And we're giving away this week. Now, Vince, did we hear from the winner last week? Did you get an email from him on last week's prize?
No, the gentleman didn't get a hold of me.
Okay, so I guess we'll be adding. Last week we had a box of 2013 Bowman Platinum baseball, so we'll add the Bowman Platinum to this week's prize, a box of Panini Prism Hockey. So we have two boxes this week. What do they do if they win, Vince? What do they have to do if we announce them as the winner?
Yeah, if you're the winner, just email me, vince@ercdelivery.com. I'll respond to you, and I'll set up a delivery time at your convenience so you can collect your prize and have it delivered directly to you.
Because ERC Delivery, that's what they do, right?
That is what we do, yes, sir.
On-demand delivery. And, you know, I've got a quiz for you, Vince.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
You're worried about this, aren't you? What's it going to be?
We'll see. It's on the air.
Okay. What sports figure was a very popular Halloween costume in New Orleans this year?
What sports figure was a popular Halloween costume in New Orleans this year?
Yes.
Well, first thing that comes to my mind is Drew Brees.
Good guess, but no. Rob Ryan, who's always telling. And the reason I'm bringing that up, if I don't get a haircut pretty soon, I'm going to look like Rob Ryan.
I was going to say, that's the guy with the longer hair.
Yes, it is. It is. Okay. The defensive coordinator.
That's funny. That's funny.
So Bill Huggins from Huggins and Scott Auctions, you're going to be in town next week, correct, at the Sun-Times show?
Yes, Tom. We will be there Friday through Sunday.
Very good. If somebody wants to get in touch with Bill Huggins this week to set something up where you'll meet him there, the number at Huggins and Scott Auctions is 1-866-462-2273. And it's a good idea to give Bill Huggins a call first before you would send him anything or anything like that. Make sure it's an item that they'd like to have in their auction. But he'll be at the Sun-Times show in Rosemont next week for 3 days. We got a neat email yesterday from a guy who had a 1940s Rose Bowl team sign photo that who knows might end up in a Huggins and Scott auction. So you can email Vince at ercdelivery.com if you don't like to call in or you can't call into the show. But if not, give us a call, 312-332-3776. We've already got a caller. A follow-up, the Green Lantern is on the line. What's up, Lantern?
What's going on there, Tommy?
How you been?
All right, not bad. Hey, I got a pretty unique item, I think. Racing saddles signed by nine jockeys that either won a Triple Crown or won one of the races in the Triple Crown.
Wow, that is a pretty cool item.
Yeah, some pretty big names. I mean, Turcotte, Lafitte Pinquet, Pat Day, Jean Cruet, Angel Cordero, guys like that.
Now, how big is that? You carry that saddle around with you? How do you get that done, Leonard?
Actually, the saddle weighs probably about a pound. You'd be surprised.
Really? I guess that makes sense. They try to have it as light as possible.
It's really small, and it weighs about a pound. That's about it.
What do you think of that, Bill Huggins?
Jeez, boy, that would be the first one of those we've ever sold, Leonard.
Yeah.
I love the idea of that.
I mean, do too.
racing is certainly an up-and-coming collectible sport. We get a lot of people that ask us, what have you got on horse racing and things like that? And there's not much out there. I'd hesitate to guess on what an item like that could sell for. It could surprise some people.
Yeah. Was that from any specific race or anything like that?
Well, a lot of them put the horse that they rode, that they won with on the race, but the years vary on when they won one of the races or the Triple Crown.
So they're all Triple Crown winners.
Leonard, was this done recently, meaning all these nine guys are still alive?
It's been done. Yes, they are. It's been done probably in the last, I would say, 3 to 4 years.
Oh, okay. Sounds very unique and also very photographable, which is items that we love to include in our auction.
It's really cool. It's a black leather saddle, and I had them all sign it like in a silver paint pen.
So how often do you ride that saddle?
A little too small for me.
You don't want to ruin it. Good item, Leonard. Next on the line is Derek from Bolingbrook. What do you have, Derek?
I have an 8x10 signed picture of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen in their Dream Team 1 uniforms.
Oh, that's neat. How's that authenticated? Was that an Upper Deck item, or how'd you get that?
Actually, I just got it from a friend, and it's not authenticated.
Yeah, well, that's a little risky there. You always know Upper Deck has Michael Jordan, so you always know if it's Upper Deck authenticated, that's a good item. I'm thinking probably if those autographs are real and everything's in good shape, maybe 400 or 500, Bill? You think that's about right?
I think that's the right range, yeah. The big hurdle is getting it authenticated at first. Then you've got a very marketable item.
Yeah, there's been so many Michael Jordan autographs that aren't real autographs out in the marketplace. It's really risky. The number here is 312-332-3776. We're giving away to one caller, emailer, or tweeter, two boxes this week, a box of Panini Prism Hockey and a box of 2013 Bowman Platinum Baseball. So give us a call, 312-332-3776, with your question about the value of a sports collectible, or it doesn't even have to be sports if you have something political, pop culture, whatever. I saw Brett Favre was in an interview on television, on the news on Friday, and he looked like he had aged 25 years since he retired, and he really didn't look good. And I guess it sounds like he's already having some memory lapse problems, which is not good. I mean, he didn't really look good, but that made me think. I know of somebody who was a teammate of Favre's who actually has a Favre game-worn jersey that he got from Favre. And, Bill, I'm wondering from you, first off, you know, what you think that might go for in an auction, but what do you do to authenticate a game-worn jersey like that?
Well, we have several authenticators that we use, Tom, to verify the authenticity as best as possible to a player that it was worn. A lot of times in recent years, these things come with little holograms on them sometimes that are dated, or you can look up the hologram and it's got the information that it pinpoints it to a certain date that it was worn. But when you get into older jerseys like that, yes, there is there's always the question of, was it worn, and you know, who wore it, and, or was it something that was made up to look worn and stuff like that. But, a game-used Favre jersey, I mean, especially if you could get a letter from the player who Favre gave it to, that's got to be a $3,000 to $5,000 to $10,000 item somewhere in there. I mean, yeah. Those are, with the proper paperwork, very, very desirable item. I'm assuming it's a Green Bay jersey.
Yes, yes. Okay. And also, if he could get a letter from Favre, too, that probably wouldn't hurt either, huh?
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Without a doubt. Yeah,
yeah, so that could break the 10 grand barrier, I suppose.
Would not out of the realm of possibility at all.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, next on the line we have Brad from Elgin. What's new, Brad? What do you have?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
I have two baseballs handed down from my grandfather to my uncle to myself from the Brooklyn Dodgers. Duke Snider, Roy Campanella, Jackie Robinson. Not quite sure what year. My uncle no longer talks to our family, so I'm not quite sure. Didn't quite get the full background. And my grandfather's no longer with us. But was just wondering, you know, a little bit about the value and how potentially I could authenticate the item.
What do you think on that, Bill? It's a team-signed Dodger ball from the early 50s, I
well,
think.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's probably with those names on it there, Brad. It's got to be something from the, as far back as the late 40s and as recent as the mid-50s. If you could date it to 1955, that would be your home run. That's their one big year the Dodgers had. We have sold 55 Dodger balls, depending on condition and strength of signature and, you know, quantity of signatures, the type of ball, other factors like that. That ball can sell for $3,000 to $5,000 or more, depending on, like I say, a few factors that would go into its displayability. Depending on, you know, if it was another year, not 1955, you can knock a thousand or two off that. But if it's got 20-plus signatures, which is what most collectors will recognize for a team ball, and it's got no clubhouse signatures on it, that's a home run item, both of those balls would be. And as far as getting them authenticated, you know, JSA is certainly the James Spence Authentications is certainly capable, and I believe they will be at the Rosemont show to authenticate items of that, like that.
And if you do want to consign it to a Huggins and Scott auction, you could see Bill Huggins at the Suntime show next weekend. So that's a great item. The number for Huggins and Scott is 1-866-462-2273. It's time for a short break. Everybody hang in there. You're listening to ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERCDelivery.com and Bill Huggins from Huggins and Scott Auctions taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. Give us a call at 312-332-3776. And you'll get in a drawing. We're giving away a box of Panini Prism Hockey and a 2013 Bowman Platinum Baseball box. You can also send a message if you're on Twitter. I'm T Crown Tom on Twitter. Send a message to @TCrownTom. And if we get it on the air, your question, you will be included in the drawing. So looking at HugginsandScott.com, the auction that starts December 2nd goes through December 12th. Vince just pointed out a really neat item you have on there, Bill. A 1957 dollar bill signed by Cassius Clay on one side and Sonny Liston and Joe Louis on the other side with a $900 minimum bid. What an item for a boxing fan, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what's unique about that item there is it really... The small window of when that thing could have been signed, I think the dollar bill was made in 1957, and it somewhere in the early 60s is when this thing had to have been signed before Clay changed his name to Muhammad Ali. And the signature on there, the big, bold Cassius Clay, is one of the most highly sought after autographs in the industry right now. We've done quite well with some of the ones, several thousand dollars that they've sold for, as far as the getting an early Cassius Clay autograph, as opposed to sometimes when he would sign later on just Muhammad Ali, AKA Cassius Clay.
Yeah. Sonny Liston died at a young age also. So, I mean, there's not a ton of his signatures out there. That's cool.
Oh, no. Sonny Liston and Joe Louis, too. I mean, dude, you couldn't get asked for three better boxers.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, waiting on the line, we have Jerome from Evanston. Thanks for waiting. Jerome, what do you have?
I have something you guys will not believe, and you'll probably question its authenticity, but I'll prove it to you.
Okay, we'll see. I'm waiting with the buttons here in case.
When I was a young boy, my father took me to my first birthday game, and I still have the program. It's a night game, 1953 night game, Wrigley Field, between the Cubs and the San Diego Padres.
Okay, this was a like a minor league. I mean, how could it have been a night game?
For the Padres.
Jerome?
Yeah?
How could it have been a night game in 1953 and before the Padres were in the major leagues?
Well, your premise is wrong on both accounts.
Okay.
Although one of you did have the clue. It was at Wrigley Field in Los Angeles.
Oh, here we go. There you go, you trickster, Jerome.
Yes.
You remember the Cubs did their spring training on Catalina Island?
Yeah, I remember hearing of that.
They used it before flying. They used to take the train back to Chicago, and they would play 6 games in their minor league park before embarking to Chicago, 3 against the L.A. Angels, which was their farm team. They played in Wrigley Field, which had lights from 1930s, and it was sort of a duplicate. It even had ivy on the wall. And you can go online on the internet, look up Wrigley Field, Los Angeles, and there's a whole history there. They used to do home run derby there.
Yeah, that's right. The late 50s show, right?
The LA Angels, when they were an expansion team in 1961, they played their home games at Wrigley Field.
Welcome to Jerome's Sports Collecting every Sunday morning. This is quite the story, Jerome. But I think it's a great story, but I think it's gone on a little too long. Thanks for the call, Jerome. The number here is 312-332-3776. If you don't want to tell us your life story, give us a call about the value of an item, and we'll get back to you. Now, Bill, is there any value to that 1953 program, that if you even remember what it was that Jerome...
Oh, I mean, gosh, Tom, it's, from what Jerome said, it sounds like a really neat item. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe if it had some signatures on it, or it was... certain people were in the game or anything special happened, and it was sort of a moment in time. But from his recollection, they played 5 or 6 of them there every year and stuff like that. So there could be some of them around. But I mean, to say it couldn't be worth a couple of $100 on its best day is certainly not out of the realm of possibility.
I think Vince found one on eBay, actually. What'd
you
find,
eBay,
Vince?
San Diego Padres from June 27th, 1953 program. Just says San Diego Padres. It's kind of in beat-up shape, but they're asking about $20 for it.
Is that a buy-it-now best offer from a
just
guy named Jerome?
From Evanston, no. But it's in pretty bad shape, but they're asking about $20 for it.
That's cool. Brian from Crown Point's on the line. What do you have, Brian?
Hey, good morning. I love listening to your show. Listen, I've got a 1958 Ernie Banks card in mint condition.
Well,
if it
truly is in mint condition, you want to get that graded, because that's the only way that you would get extra value for it. Bill, who would you recommend he got a 58 Ernie Banks mint?
Well, there are several grading companies out there that he could, you know, that he could use. That and they will all be at the Rosemont show in next weekend. But I mean, when you say mint, Brian, you're talking about a grade 9 of 10. That card, if it's in an encapsulated holder by a recognized grading company as a 9 of 10, is probably $1,000 plus easily.
But it really has to be mint, which means it's
right.
It looks like it just came out of a pack. The corners, edges, surface are all sharp, white, and clean.
The difference between a mint 9 and a near mint 7, you couldn't really see with your eyes almost, and the difference is maybe $1,000 plus to probably $75.
I know a lot of people don't realize exactly what the condition is on something either, because I remember a story that rings true with me. A guy, I had a UPS driver to T-Crown, and he had what he thought was a mint Mark McGwire rookie at the time when McGwire and Sosa were so hot. And I was like, really, you do? That card's really hot right now, the McGwire rookie. I go, where do you have it? He pulled it out of his back pocket.
and
it had all kinds of creases in it, so it definitely wasn't mint.
Well, I'm not sure. I thought, you know, I've had it in the case for many years, and it really... It, to me, it looks mint, but you're right. I've never had it looked at, and I've done an excellent case, but I'm
take
I'm
it to the Sun Times show, and you've got people like PSA, SGC, Beckett Vintage Grading that could all grade that item and be good.
All right.
Jim from Tinley Park is next on the line. What's up, Jim?
Hey, good morning, boys.
What's up? Got a
Chicago Bears jersey. I had one with a blank back that I had custom lettered.
I got it on the radio already. Hurry.
Custom lettered with a Monsters of the Middle heading, and then Singletary with number, Butkus, and Urlacher, and all three have signed it.
Very nice. That's probably $100 to $150, I would think. I'm having trouble with the off button here, Adam. My off button isn't deleting people. I don't know what's going on here. But let's look at HugginsandScott.com before we get to another call. Adam will take a quick look at the off button thing here. But at HugginsandScott.com, Bill, one of the items that you have in your December 2nd through 12th. 12th auction is a high-grade 1972 Topps football set. That was the last year that there was an undefeated team in football, right? The Dolphins in 72. And you don't find that set in high-grade very often. That's got a $750 minimum bid on it. And another kind of cool thing here in the HugginsandScott.com auction is a Brooklyn Polka Dots scorecard from July 4th, 1883. I guess that team turned into the Brooklyn Dodgers. That's the earliest known Dodgers item with a $250 minimum bid. I think the Brooklyn Bridge opened in 1883 to give you an idea of how old that item is. So, okay, next on the line we have John from Beverly waiting. What's up, John? Hey, John. You're on the air, buddy.
Good, man. Listen, I won't tell you my life story, but I got to tell you a little of this memorabilia. As a young kid growing up in the Jackson Highlands, circa 67, 68, word got out that Gale Sayers lived in the neighborhood. So me and a childhood buddy walked around, and we finally stumbled upon his house, stopped by, rang the doorbell. His wife answered the door. She said, well, Gale's not home, but if you come back tomorrow, I'll have something for you. And she gave each of us an autographed rookie photo of Gale Sayers.
Ooh, I thought you were going to say an autographed rookie card. Now, that would have really been cool. A rookie photo is not bad, but the rookie card in really nice shape and sign, now that really would have been something.
No kidding. Oh, man.
Well, yeah, that's still a good item.
Yeah, and you see it periodically in newsprint. Whenever they do a story on Gale, it's that photo.
Yeah, right. Well, very good. That's probably still, you know, at least $50. He's an easy signer. But actually, Bill, because it's back from that it was signed in his rookie year, is there any extra value to that?
Oh, there always is extra value if you can get period signatures on things like that. I mean, a lot of these players, like Gale Sayers, you said, Tom, he is a prolific signer at a lot of the shows. I know he's been at the Rosemont show several times, but their signatures change over the years, and a lot of these authenticators, when they authenticate an item like that, sometimes they'll even put on there the period of the signature based on their exemplars that they will use. And that, when you've got an early in their career signature like that, much, much more desirable than the ones you would get where he's cranking out 800 or 900 of them a day at a show.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so that's cool. Now, a rookie card in mint condition, signed by Gale Sayers. That's a whole completely different item. That's in a different price range completely. The number here is 312-332-3776. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERCDelivery.com and Bill Huggins from Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your comments and questions about sports and collecting. If you want to know the value of an item that you have, a sports collectible, pop culture, political, give us a call, and we're giving away a couple of boxes of cards to the winner. 312-332-3776. Kevin from Geneva's on the line. We got the board working again here. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
You know what? I've got quite a few things that I'll get on your site and find out the value. I've been collecting various things over the years, but the one I'm calling about specifically is pretty unique. It's, I went to University of Kentucky, so I'm a Wildcat fanatic, and in 1978 the Cats won it all. We beat Duke in the final, Goose Givens, yada yada. So anyway, my wife won a autograph ball from the entire winning team, 1978 winning team. We've had it forever. Not looking to sell it. I'm just curious what it might be worth.
What do you think on that, Bill?
Well, Kevin, I mean, if you're not looking to sell it, I tell a lot of people like this. It's what I call priceless and worthless. only because we will never know what it's worth because you're never going to sell it. An item like that, Kevin, is, you know, one of a kind. I mean, I have not heard of any ball from that era signed by the entire team. I'm assuming that it was signed in that time period and not at sort of a reunion thing, in which case...
No. Yeah, it was back right after they won it.
They didn't have anybody from that team that really turned into an NBA superstar, did they?
You know what? Jack Givens was kind of the star, scored 42 points.
Still a great, really neat item.
I would think, Kevin, if you ever decided you wanted to sell it at a Kentucky basketball or Kentucky college banquet, reunion, charity type event like that, that's where you would get a stupid number for that.
Can you imagine if that was at a Kentucky charity event?
Oh, God,
and they were serving drinks? Yeah, that would be big time. Okay, we have Joe from Oswego. What's going on, Joe? Welcome
to
the
show. Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing great.
Hey, I have a question. Back in the early 90s, I had opened up a box of the Upper Deck Hockey Locker Room Series.
Okay.
And, you know, they had the Heroes of Hockey, and they had, like, a little nine-card insert. I pulled out a Gordie Howe autograph card out of there. I've never seen anything anywhere else. You guys have an idea about this?
Well, Gordie Howe has signed for quite a few of the Upper Deck products over the years, and most of them go in the $50 to $100 range. It depends how it looks, what they're numbered to, if they're short printed or whatever. But he has been in quite a few of the Upper Deck products with an autograph. So, okay, we're coming up to another short break here, and then we'll have our last segment of the show. You can give us a call, 312-332-3776. If you have a question about the value of an item, we'll be right back after the break. You are listening to ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Hang in there, everybody. We'll be right back. Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERCDelivery.com and Bill Huggins from Huggins and Scott Auctions. You can call in at 312-332-3776 with your question about the value of a sports collectible or any type collectible. I have on my T Crown Tom eBay seller ID this week a group of items from the 2012 Vince Lombardi Leaf set, and the autographs all had inscriptions on there. There's some pretty neat ones. I've got one from like Jerry Kramer, and there's one from Jim Grabowski, I think, and there's Marv Fleming's on there, and he put a "Miss You, Coach" inscription on it. But there's an interesting story with Marv Fleming. In the late 70s, he was victim of identity theft. A guy posed as Fleming and was arrested in 1980 for selling phony stock in NFL teams. After this guy named Trotter was caught and conceded to police he wasn't Fleming, he then tried to convince them he was actually John Mackey. Some guys never learn, I guess. I always like to throw in little tidbits from Wikipedia when I'm selling something on eBay, because when I was reading that, I thought, what the heck? You never know.
You have a nice printing plate of Vince Lombardi, a 101, that's on your site right now.
Yeah, that came out of that set also. A lot of times they'll include in the products now an original printing plate. They're one of ones. There were four colors in the printing of the item. So, yeah, those are kind of cool. Good collectibles. Scott from Highland, Indiana is next. What's up, Scott?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you have?
Hey, I got a ball signed by Mark McGwire the year he broke the home run record, and I was just kind of curious how the value of that's changed after the whole steroid era and he pleaded the fifth and all that good stuff.
Yeah, all the steroid guys, especially the main ones, their stuff that might have been really hot for a while has dropped in value quite a bit. McGwire, Sosa, Clemens, Bonds, all their stuff. A McGwire ball before might have been $300 or $400 because he didn't sign too much. Vince, I think, found one on eBay. What's it going for right now?
Official Major League Baseball signed by Mark McGwire with a certificate of authenticity they're asking 109 for it. So.
Yeah, so that's what they're asking, too. So his stuff is definitely dropped. And how about Bill Huggins? How about memorabilia, some of those steroid guys? You ever get any of their game use stuff? And has that held up, or is that down also?
Well, yeah, it's down also. Yeah. I mean, I tell people all the time when they call me with items from the steroid boys, just put it aside. Now is not the time to sell that. If at some point down the road they forgive all of them and either build a separate wing for them or whatever they do and put them all in, there'll be a resurgence in that stuff. But it's just wrong time to sell that stuff right now.
Now, Pete Rose memorabilia, he still sells like a Hall of Famer, right? His stuff memorabilia-wise, not autograph, but memorabilia-wise is high, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, always has been. Him and Roger Maris, Gil Hodges. There's several guys who are not in the Hall of Fame, but literally their value on their items sells just like Hall of Famers, if not better than some Hall of Famers.
Yeah, true. Especially if there's like a Roger Maris died at a young age and doesn't have a whole ton of stuff out there. Ken from Highland Park is on the line. Thanks for holding. Ken, what do you have?
I have a black and white 5x7 photo of Michael Jordan in his rookie year, and he attended a charity function, and it's a stock photo that says Michael Jordan rookie, and it's autographed. And what's unique about it is, you know, he had hair back then, which is kind of different.
We all did, Ken. So, Bill, now, what's the difference in value for a Michael Jordan if you can prove that it was signed his rookie year or very early in his career compared to a later Michael Jordan signed photo? A big difference in value on that?
Oh, very similar as to our previous caller who had mentioned the Gale Sayers item that he had. It's Michael Jordan. We've had some balls that he signed when he was in North Carolina, and oh my God, he had some of the best penmanship you've ever seen. You could see each and every curve of each and every letter, and it's just beautifully spelled out, Michael Jordan. I almost thought it was some kid who wrote it on there, but no, that's his real autograph. Yeah. And whereas the thing today is, I mean, you could still read the M and the J and all that type of stuff, but it's a whole different made-for-quick-signing type autograph.
Yeah.
So, an early Michael Jordan, if it's that bold, loopy type thing as opposed to the real scribble type thing, oh, serious money as far as that goes, because that person doesn't exist anymore, really.
Yeah, that's a great item. Next on the line, here's something interesting. We have Garrett from Westchester's Secretariat item, right, Garrett?
Good morning, Breakfast Clubbers. Yes, I have something that I don't hear too many racing items, but I have a $2 win ticket that I purchased at Arlington Park on August 18th in the 70s, and it's uncashed, and I was wondering if it's worth anything.
And this was this one of his Triple Crown races, or
no? It wasn't. He came to Arlington Park. In fact, I watched the race from the infield underneath the fence, but I purchased a bunch of $2 uncashed tickets when he won. In fact, he got left at the gate, and he still won by about 7 or 8 lengths.
Yeah, Garrett, we've actually sold, I believe, a $2 win ticket from the Belmont Stakes when he won the Triple Crown.
By 35 lengths.
And I want to say that's brought several thousand dollars.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure what one from a subsequent race or previous race in Arlington would bring, but I would venture to say there are collectors out there who would love to have that, and to say it couldn't bring a few hundred dollars is not out of the realm of possibility
Vince
at all.
Vince found one on eBay here. What'd you find?
Yeah, 1973 Arlington Park Secretariat, $2 win ticket in mint condition, was sold 2 weeks ago for $132.50.
It's August 18th, 1972, I believe. Is that correct?
You know, they're showing just 1973 Arlington Park win ticket for Secretariat, so it's probably the same ticket in mint condition.
Okay, that's cool. Next on the line, we have Jeff from Valpo. It sounds like you're cruising around on, oh no, you're not on the highway. Where are you, Jeff? Are you in Valpo?
I'm actually delivering right now from Valpo.
Okay, so what do you have?
When I was a kid, we went to go visit family out in Arizona, and one of my cousins took me to a game, a spring training game at the old Ho-Ho Camp Park, and it was either 85 or 86, and I have the program signed by Harry Carey.
A program signed by Harry Carey, I would think that's probably $75 to $100. That's a cool item. popular around Chicago, probably would be popular in St. Louis, you know, some of the other spots that he, I think he was in Oakland for a year or two even announced it in between the St. Louis and White Sox, but that's a neat item. Next on the line we have Tommy from Wrigleyville. What's going on there, Tommy?
I have a ball. Morning, guys. I have a ball from the 69 Cubs. My brother's friend was a bat boy on a team that used to choose him from St. Benedict's High School in the local area. And it's got all the autographs on it. I was just curious how much it's worth.
It's a 69 Cubs team-signed ball. Do you know if it has Don Young on there?
I'm sure it does.
Okay, he's one of the tougher ones from that. And it's got over 20 signed, 20 signatures with Banks and Leo DeRocher on it also?
Yes. He worked in the locker room, so, you know, it's all signed. It was right near. I can check the ball anyhow.
Yeah, did he get any game-used items from anybody, like game bats or jerseys?
That's one thing he gave my brother. My brother gave that to me, and I still have it.
The ball?
I'm sure he has a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. You should ask him about that, see if he has any game-used. What do you think of the value of that ball? I know at least in the Chicago area, the 69 Cubs are still very collectible nationally, Bill, in a Huggins.
I would think it's a $300 to $500 ball, maybe a little more, depending on how sharp and clean and presentable it is.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I guess Cub fans will still like to remember it. It's one of the closer things they had to a World Series thing in the last 100 or so years. So
let's be nice, Tom.
Kind of
be
a
nice
neat
to
thing.
The Cubs.
Okay, Keith from Roselle is on. What's up, Keith?
Hey there, guys. So I got a football. I believe it's facsimile signatures, but it's a full team of 1975 Bears. Who picked it up. I got it when I was about 5 years old and got it from my grandfather, who was a doorman, Chicago Hilton, and he got that from Mr. Hallis.
Yeah, facsimile signed balls don't go for very much, unfortunately. Neat item to hang on to, but not a lot of value to it. Jack from South Bend is on the line. This sounds kind of cool. Jack, tell us what you have.
Good morning, gentlemen. Many, many years ago, in fact, 1961, my brother and I were taken to a Yankees game. I think it was the first home series in 1961 at Yankee Stadium. And my brother and I had just come through a major tragedy where we had lost the remainder of our family. And I was with my uncle. And about 45 minutes before the game, an usher came and took my brother and I down to the Yankee, just outside the Yankee clubhouse. And I had a program, the simple 25-cent program with a pencil that you got when you went into the stadium.
Right.
And out came first Mickey Mantle, and he signed it and didn't say anything. And then Roger Maris, who talked to my brother and I for a little while and signed it. And then Phil Rizzuto, who was the Yankee broadcaster at the time, and he signed it. And Phil had said, I understand you boys have come through a tough situation. So it dawned on me that my uncle had pulled strings somehow with the usher to get us down there. But basically, I have a program signed by those three Hall of Famers in a year that was an incredible year for baseball. And it's in pencil. It was a pencil that it's very legible. And I kept score. I've got the box score. As a 10-year-old, my mother taught me how to keep score when I was 7 years old.
Yeah,
so it's all
cool
on there. Yeah.
Bill, now what do you think about that? One question I would have, would it have been worth more if it was just Maris and Mantle and not Rizzuto? And then what do you think of the value as it is?
Well, I don't think Phil Rizzuto hurts that at all,
okay.
Tom. I mean, the Maris-Mantle key to the thing and the dating it to 1961 certainly is the key to that as well. Pencil signatures on a program. Programs are not the most desirable things as far as autographs go. Balls, bats, jerseys, things like that are much more collectible and have a much more broad group of collector base than they do in programs. But to say the thing is wouldn't bring $500 to $1,000 or more possibly is not out of the question either.
Yeah, it's a great keepsake, neat item. Okay, next on the line we have Eugene from Fort Wayne. We're popular in Indiana today. What's up, Eugene? What do you have?
Oh, not too much. Getting ready to go to a Notre Dame basketball game with my son.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I have a Michael Jordan golf ball that came in a case, and it's got his signature on it with a little note of authenticity. I was just curious, since I was listening to you guys. I enjoy your show.
Thanks. Did you get it signed in person, or did you purchase it as a signed ball?
No, I purchased it online because I was collecting golf balls back then, and I was buying all kinds of golf balls.
How's it authenticated? Who's the authenticator up for it?
You know, I don't know, but it's a little card that, you know, it's like a gold card with black writing. And,
yeah.
I mean, but, you know, I didn't really care. I just thought it was a cool collection item.
Yeah, I would think it's worth a couple hundred dollars. You'd have to get that checked out to make sure, you know, that it's real. We got time for one more quick call. Marvin from the South Side, what do you have there, Marvin?
Yes.
Hey, Marvin, what do you have?
Yeah, I have a signed autographed baseball with the Boston Red Sox on it. The signatures are including Ellis Burks and Wade Boggs.
Oh, I was hoping you had a World Series winning team signed ball. One of those other ones probably is not that much. That's too bad, okay? Real quick, Rich from the North Side, tell us what you have, Rich, real fast.
I got a 1968 signed game ball from the College All-Star Game with Ron Yari and Larry Zonka in mint condition, and I'm pretty sure it was a game-played ball because I don't think they issued balls out like that back then.
Is it just those two guys or more?
No, the whole team. The
okay,
whole team.
Bill, what
there.
Do you think of that one?
Well, we've had several of those in our auctions before, the College All-Stars, when they used to play the defending Super Bowl or defending Packers. Champion and stuff like that. Depending on who else is on it, Rich, could be, you know, 800, 1,200, somewhere in that range, maybe more. Like I said, it would really depend on just the amount of players on it and who all signed it.
Okay, well, that's the end of the show. Sorry, everybody else who's waiting. You can Vince will give you the details of how you can email us a question if you didn't get your call on the air. Thanks to Bill Huggins, Huggins and Scott Auctions. Don't forget, Bill will be at the Sun Times show next week if you have something that you want to consign to him. Thanks to Adam Abdallah, our producer, and Vince. Now, let's do the drawing. What do they do if they win?
Okay, if I pick your name and you're the winner, just email me, vince@ercdelivery.com. I'll get back to you. I'll set up a delivery time at your convenience to deliver the boxes of cards. If you want to know what something is valued during the week, if you didn't get a chance to get on the show, you could email me, vince@ercdelivery.com. Tom and I and Bill will look it up and get back to you or talk about it on the radio next week. The winner for today is going to be Kevin from Geneva.
Kevin from Geneva is the winner. So what does Kevin do in order the prize this week? It's two boxes, a box of 2013 Bowman Platinum Baseball and a box of Panini Prism Hockey. How do they claim the prize?
Email
Vince?
Me, vince@ercdelivery.com. I'll get back to them and set up the delivery details.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan. We're on every week now, 7 to 8 a.m. on Sunday morning. So save up your questions, figure out, give us a call next week, and have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening.